This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 26, 2015, the eighth Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
A multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he did. May the word of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he did. It's a good thing to follow our Lord for whatever reason, but it is even better when you understand why he does the things that he does. A lot of times we talk about, when we hit the gospel, particularly a gospel like this, that talks about something that foreshadows the Eucharist that we have, with which we have been blessed at our Lord's grace. We sit back and we think that, you see things and you hear things in church, and sometimes you get these mountaintop experiences and you feel all warm and fuzzy about things. That is good. It really is good. Just like the feeding of the 5,000 was good. But when you step back and really look at it, and this isn't a homily about understanding this particular passage. It's about more being cognizant of how we can misunderstand what our Lord Jesus Christ does. You can't truly misunderstand your faith. And that doesn't mean that you have a bad faith, or it means, don't take it pejoratively, but it can be deeper. And that's what our Lord wants us to understand. This feeding with the 5,000, oh, how awesome is that? 5,000 people, a couple fish and some loaves of bread, and he feeds 5,000 people. That was not an ostentatious display of, hey, look at me, I'm Jesus. Look at the trick. All right? It's not what it's about. It's about him presenting himself. It's about the teaching. A multitude followed him because they saw the signs that he did. It's better to follow him because of what he teaches by these signs. You sit back and you look at it. As I said before, this foreshadows the Eucharist, as the Scriptures have in their entirety. That Old Testament reading this morning, the book of Kings, 2 Kings, and it talks about a group of 100 men being fed with a very, very limited amount of bread. So this is nothing New Testament. This is nothing Jesus. This is God manifesting your salvation throughout salvation history. And he shows throughout the miracles, like happened in Kings, it's talked about in the Psalm, it is talked about throughout the Old Testament, that when the Messiah comes, the one whom God will send for the salvation of all souls, when that happens, he is going to do these things. And when Jesus Christ does it, he's proving something. Again, he just doesn't do a miracle for miracle's sake. None of the miracles are about that. Miracles are all to confirm things. And this is a meditation. I know a lot of people come in here and think, ooh, the Paschal candle's burning and the baptismal font's out. Short homily, true, okay? That's great. But come away with this with something important. Don't misunderstand your faith. Don't misunderstand it. Delve into it. I'm a good Catholic. I go to Mass every Sunday. That's great. That is a good thing, all right? Because many, 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 many don't, all right? But if you don't, you're in mortal sin, different subject for a different day, okay? But your Sunday presence here is an obligation. You got to be here, all right? That's what God says. That's what the church says. You've got to be here. So again, if you're not, problematic. But when you come here, as I always point out, if you come here on Sundays, it's like spiritual bread and water. You got to take it outside the doors. You got to take it outside the mass. If you don't, yeah, you can be okay if you're in here. And like I said, there's a lot of people who don't go to Mass on Sunday. So guess what? It's a good thing. It could be much, much better. These people who saw the feeding of the 5,000, again, they get to see a miracle. They get to see a miracle, but they don't get it. They really, truly don't get it. Whenever you see, like, bookend kind of statements made in a gospel passage, you should really pay attention to what's going on there. It started out, a multitude followed him because they saw the signs that he did. And then at the end of that reading, it said, when the people saw the sign which he did, they said, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. Okay, again, it was a catalyst for faith, but it was an imperfect faith. Jesus Christ is not merely a prophet. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. He is the God-man. He is God himself. That's where the responsorial, the Alleluia verse today, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. Yeah, a great prophet indeed, telling us what is to come, but even more so, God has visited us. That is what he is telling us. That is what he is teaching us with the feeding of the 5,000. Not, hey, look at the cool trick, but hey, look at me, I'm God. You might want to pay attention to what he's got to say. Some things like, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's those little things, because he has the authority to say that, because he is indeed God. Your faith in Jesus Christ is much, much deeper. It is much more profound than to be confused with earthly understandings of your faith, earthly, social, or political. What happened? What? At the very end of this, Jesus goes off by himself. Why does he do that? Because he said he knew they were going to take him by force and make him king. So they thought he was a prophet, just a prophet, you'd say just a prophet, but they didn't take it far enough. And then they thought, some of them, obviously, this could be the Messiah, this could be the king. We need to take him by force and set him up. They had this very political view of what Jesus Christ was, and Jesus goes off by himself because his kingship, as he says before Pilate, is not of this world. It is so much more deep than some guy who's going to set up a kingdom in Rome and kick out the Romans so we can start killing animals again. That's what the Jews wanted. They had a very, very limited, very myopic view of the Messiah. Jesus, by the feeding of the 5,000, shows he's much, much more than that. And that is the Jesus that we need to embrace. That is the Jesus whom we must get much closer to embracing. And that is up to each and every one of us. I pointed out before, you know, you come on Sundays, yep, you can learn something from the homily, you can learn something from the Mass, you can learn something from the sacraments that are administered. You really got to step back and understand that it. A lot of times when we see things, we get these... We just don't want to jump tracks. Not that we can, or not that we, you know, deny it outright. It's just that we don't go there. Baptism, for instance. We have a baptism today. From a human perspective, how cool are baptisms? I mean, generally speaking, in our context, it's a baby. They're cute. You dress them up. There's parties. That, you know, all this kind of cool stuff. You want to look past that social aspect of the whole thing. A lot of times when the sacraments are administered, you know, it gets real crowded at weddings, for particularly. The place is packed for weddings, you know, because people view their faith as something social. Christmas and Easter, Catholics, it's social. That's because you go to church on Christmas and Easter because we're Catholics. Again, go to church twice a year, serious problem. But a lot of people do it. Why? Because their faith is nothing more than a social construct. And I said before, the Jews who witnessed this, they had a very political idea of what the Messiah was going to be. They even might embrace Jesus. He's the Messiah. Let's set him up as king. Before Pilate, our Lord, my kingdom is not of this world. Yeah. But he does confirm that that's why he came into this world. That it's much more deep than being set up in some city somewhere. It is about being the king of heaven and earth. It is about being the king and ruling over your life. As an individual, ruling over society, whether society likes it or not, that's Jesus Christ. That's the God-man. That is the deeper things of the faith. There are still people in this day and age that look at their faith as a political thing. And there's a lot of people who walk around with these bumper stickers, you know. Example, the support of Israel. the nation of Israel, the political entity in this world currently of Israel. Oh, the Bible says that you got to support Israel or you're not a good Christian. Israel, the country? The Holy Spirit, speaking through St. Paul in Galatians chapter 6, says the true Israel of God is the church. So whatever you read about supporting Israel and the church, it's the church. That's not me saying it because of my opinion. That's what the Holy Spirit says in Scripture. The true Israel of God is the church. The people won't jump the tracks. They won't understand that Israel is something much more profound than a political entity. So it's even with us in this day. As we watch this baptism today, right after the homily, we're going to do this. It is the sacrament of regeneration by water and the Word, not Word read, Word capital W, the Logos, our Lord Jesus Christ, without which you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without baptism, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. General statement, okay? There's always this anomalous situation that, like the thief on the cross, but don't put your eggs in the anomalous basket, all right? Go with the generality. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, if you are not baptized in water and the Holy Spirit, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. From a human perspective, that's really difficult for us. If you look over there at Simon Peter, and you think there's a... couldn't inherit the kingdom of heaven. He's a little infant. What could be wrong with him? Why couldn't he inherit the kingdom of heaven? Your catechism teaches you because before baptism, we are by nature children of wrath. Baptism reconciles us because we are enemies with God before our baptism. What? A little baby? That's disgusting. That's what does Jesus not... He doesn't put the caveat of age on it. If you are not baptized by water and the Holy Spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 3, if you want to look it up. And I hope you do. All right? That's how important baptism is. It's much more deep than he looks so cute over there, and we're going to do a churchy ritual for him. He is going to be changed ontologically. If you're 8 days old or 108 years old, it doesn't make a difference. When you walk in this church, you are a child of wrath, and after you're baptized, you are a child, as it says in the catechism, by baptism we are regenerated in Christ, children of mercy. It is that profound a change. It's that deep. He is not going to be the same human being that he is when he leaves here. That's how deep baptism is. It's just not what we do because we're Christians. Okay? We embrace the words of our Lord. At the end of every Mass, we hear the last gospel. And at the end of the last gospel, it says, to all who receive him, he gave them power to become the sons of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is not something that we, oh, yeah, I thought through this and I read some books and now I decided that Christianity, of all of them, probably got the most behind it, so I'm going to go there. Or mommy and daddy and grandma and grandpa were Catholics, so I am too. It is being born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. It is God's grace who brings us here. And that grace starts in baptism. It changes us. And you will be treated by God completely differently than you were before your baptism. That's what makes sin so grievous. The people in the world who've never been baptized, they're at enmity with God anyway. They're children of wrath. But once we become one of his children of mercy, then it is up to us to get closer to him. And it starts for Simon Peter right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.